Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Welcome.
West Tigers have come from nothing.
Have come out to
Cowboys. Bulldogs are on fire. Roosters are giving them a training list.
Here comes South.
For Ream Hot Water. Triple M Footy.
Oh, what a beautiful day it is here in the southern suburbs of Sydney. Cogra Oval. It's St George Illawarra versus Parramatta, about an hour away. The first match, it's not a game, it's a shame. It's the Roosters, 28, Gold Coast nil. That is a real smash up there at the SCG. Brett Morris, a hat-trick after 21 minutes. They're doing it on their ear, the Roosters over the Titans there at the Sydney Cricket Ground. Geez, we're here in the very tight box at Cogra Oval. We've picked the worst Sunday to bring in the two biggest blokes in the Triple M NRL team as part of the Sunday call team. Hello, MG. Hello, Spudley.
Something out of that truck with the three sumos. Oh, not so squishy.
You're a good size for a hooker, as they say.
Yeah. Thank God, because if it was a couple of years ago, I don't know how we'd do it. I'd have to be standing on a chair or something. But you offered me a pie before, Spud. No, thank you. I made it a life decision. All right, it's got nothing to do with diet or anything. My days of eating pies at the football are over because you perfectly, you what you happened to you today was a perfect example why I don't do pies at the football. Mm. It's a gamble. Mm. It's either way too hot, yep, where you burn the roof of your mouth, or it's too cold where it's slimy and disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know who the maker is with Cogra Oval or what's Jubilee Oval, whatever this oval's called. I just think pie-wise...
Oh. A lot to be desired.
There are a lot to be desired.
But that's not the only
one of my favourite. I don't know if we've got a Kaching here. I think Garlo's pie is one of the best on the market. It's one of my good mates, Sean Garlic.
I'm sure the quality of pie here is fine. It's the cooking of the pie.
It's the centre. Why is the centre always so bloody hot? I went on the outside, okay, a little bit of sauce, then I went bang in the middle, and then you looked at me, and I'm looking, I can't speak.
Hello to you, Billy Harrigan.
Hello, Dan. I actually like the pie. I just had one. Mm. It was nice.
Well, you got lucky.
You got lucky.
It's a lucky
roll the dice.
Well, I've been out for a little while, so it cooled down.
All right. So every time I come to Cogra, because of the ground in my youth, I always have to have a hot dog and chips or sausage. They don't do the sausage sandwiches here anymore. Or if they do, I don't know where they are.
There's a hot doggy man out the front. Remember the old hot doggies?
Yeah.
I just love those guys. There was one out at Brookvale Oval. Is there one at home at Penrith?
Always one at Leichhardt. Leichhardt.
You can't understand what you just know it's a hot dog then.
That was Wimpy. It used to be Wimpy's World when I played at Balmain for that year. And he was the bloke who used to do the hot dogs outside of it. But so there's Red at Penrith, the Red's hot dogs, but they're mainly a sausage sandwich, a sausage in a roll with mustard and onion.
Yes,
I love that.
Yes, exactly.
I don't like Frankfurts.
Those are good old days, going out to the old ovals. I remember as a kid down the footy, you just couldn't wait to get a hot doggy. They'd always go, hot doggy, hot doggy, hot doggy. How many times they say that?
Give the dog a home.
Get your hot doggy.
Give the dog a home.
Anyway, I noticed something coming in the ground. I love Cogra Oval, but it's $35 to get in for general admission. Well, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, I'm sure that is the same pretty much across all the grounds. That is an absurd amount to charge people to sit on their hill.
Yeah, so my kids aren't, they're out of school now, but I just know if the league are doing it still. Remember the old pass you used to get as a kid going to primary schools?
I think they still do that.
They should do it.
I think if you're a kid that plays footy, I think, tweet us in, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but I don't know why, what are you saying, mate, $35, why can't they just have an average price of $20?
Yeah.
And it'll be a packed house every game.
Or $35, but your kids come in free like they're doing at the Sydney Cricket Ground.
Yeah, and good for them, the Roosters. They realised, hey, it's a tough ground and it's not great opposition. And it looks like they've got about, 14,000, 15,000. That's a pretty good, it's a great turn-up, actually, for a Sunday afternoon against an out-of-town team.
Oh, like this, Dan, when you've got a game before the main game. Usually you go for most first-grade games, and there's nothing before that. There's nothing to get there. What's the point of going to one?
Well, we got a game at the moment. And you know the great irony, MG and Spud and Billy, is that we're going to see more Cronulla games here over the next few years than Dragons games, because Cronulla, they're going to redo the Leagues Club. They're going to knock down that Peter Byrne stand, and they're redoing the Leagues Club. And I don't know if it starts next year or the year after. It might be next year. They're going to take something like 8 or 9 games. I think that's the plan here to Cogra Jubilee Oval, whereas the Dragons, they haven't played here since round 5.
Wow.
Just some weird programming. They had a whole bunch of games in a row in the gong, and last time we were here, it was a Sunday arvo, they thumped the Bulldogs back in April, 40-4, and that was when they were high-flying, the Dragons. They haven't been here since.
It's still a nice, it's a lovely ground from up here. Isn't it? The pitch. I think they certainly looked after it. I think I've only played one game here in my whole career, and it was like a cricket pitch sort of feeling right through the whole field. It just wasn't in the middle. It was right through.
Too hard?
Oh, hard. It was hard as a rock. You get a cricket ball to dance on it.
I used to be scared. I played here a lot, probably a dozen times over, like with Reds and Penrith and Balmain. And down the northern end with that grandstand is now used to be just a barbed wire fence going around the ground. And you warm up out the back there before a game.
I remember a game you played here, MG. This is a weird memory. And we will get to serious footy stuff, I promise. 1995, Western Reds, St. George. It was a Saturday afternoon here. Yep. It was an ABC game. And it was halftime. Everyone was walking off pretty much together. And you've seen a trainer with a bottle. So you've reached over to have a sip. He's about to give it to you. He's a St. George trainer. He realizes you're... And he pulls it away from you.
Really? I don't remember.
And
that.
Then you gave him one of the great death stares. Oh, and if it was a little looser, MG, that bloke might have been in a bit of trouble.
Oh, he could have given me a sip of water.
Exactly.
We're on the same brother.
Great memory.
The funny things, the insignificant things that stick in your mind.
Little things that MG just brought, highlighted. I remember out the back, we used to go and warm up. But there was a guy there, they called him the Skull.
Oh, yeah, Skull.
They called him in. He had the SWAT stick on his head.
And he had the big thick glasses.
Didn't he what?
He lived at Edmonton. He's from Edmonton.
Mate,
and he's great, like we spoke about earlier, and he used to give me hoops. He'd be sitting on a milk crate, and he goes, here she is, Marsha Guy. Yeah, look at him. Look at her.
I was 12, and I came here in a Canterbury jersey, and he yelled, hey, come here. And I started motioning, come here, I'm going to rip your effing head off.
Ooh, cold hero.
Yeah. Is he still with us?
I'm not sure. Tweet us.
This is Triple M Footy. Cronulla, the team of the weekend so far, gentlemen?
Yeah, well, them and the Storm, I suppose. So Storm's doing what they did to... I thought I'd kind of picked that as my upset.
You thought Brisbane...
Broncos could have... Yeah, I thought they might have, but no, Melbourne come out on fire. The way this bloke, Bellamy, puts players in his system and turns them into Olam. Olam wouldn't make any other first grade team in the competition. Just the way he... Bromwich. Kenny Bromwich. Two tries and setting and throwing passes like he's Pappenhausen. He's just a magician, Craig Bellamy. And look, I think, original question, Dan, yes, I think the Sharks were fantastic. They said, okay, we're back. We had a bit of a lull, but now we're back, and we're back with Fifita and Moylan and Graham. And last night I said to the boys earlier that the way John Morris rotated his bench forwards was ideal. You know, he started with Gallen and Pryor, then brought on Ueli and Fifita, and they just made an instant impact. And I think, with the core in their team and Sherry in the centres, they're back, and they're gonna worry a few teams, the Sharkies.
Mate, you hit on the head, MG, with regards to Melbourne Storm. I look back in amazement. They've got like a production line down there. They've got a little cupboard that we need number 8 or number 9. They take the same player out, put him in the spot. They know their position. They know what they have to do. They know the lines. I heard Matty John's podcast, Cameron Smith was saying that they're all dictated what they have to do each week. Everyone knows their job. But looking at some of these scores, the teams that have really stood up, the Raiders 46-12, Melbourne 40-4, the Eagles 30-6, and then you got Cronulla. You're saying they were the best on the ground. I reckon the Seagulls and the Raiders are knocking on the door for the competition.
Yeah, but it's nice to see a team in that bottom part of the 8 actually look like they could threaten, because Newcastle have gone down the drain.
Yep.
Brisbane are struggling. All those teams. West Tigers had a nice win, but can you seriously see them challenging the top teams? Probably not at this point.
Penrith got beat by Dogs.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's nice to see a team. It's always a better final series when you've got a real threat in that 5th to 8th spot, and it looks like if Cronulla... I mean, they're not guaranteed yet, but they certainly look like the most likely of those bottom teams to do something.
100%. I think Cronulla... They could easily, not easily, but they could win the comp from games from 7th place, just the way they are. They've got the injuries coming back. The players are missing. Wade Graham was an unbelievable inclusion last night. But I just think their timing, their run to perfection. They don't care where they get to. They've just got to be in the top 8. And as we said, it's a new competition, MG. You've got to make the top 8, see where you are, where the home game's going to be, see how your injury update is, and then you take it from there.
Yeah, I love this time of year. It's, round 20. This is round 20. The comp's almost over. They're rounding the bend, coming home and down the home stretch, and we're seeing the pretenders, and the real guys who are you know, in this competition up to their eyeballs, where they're going to sort themselves out in the next month, and I love it. It's, now that Origin's behind us, there's no injuries, everyone's coming back. It's the best footy next month, Billy. What do you reckon?
I do. Sorry, mate. It's been one of those pies.
He knew it too. He knew it. There was no reason to throw the bill. You saw a hospital. You thought, I'm going to give this bloke a hospital
last
pass.
Last mouthful of my pie too, Andrew. Really good.
None of the sticks at the top, too. I've been caught that too.
I do. What I find really good about an MG is teams that we didn't expect and most people wouldn't have put in the top four are now in that top four. I certainly didn't think Cronulla would come back like they have. I didn't think Manly would be up there. I did not think that the Raiders would be in the top four. No chance in the world when this competition first started. So I like that other teams are now coming through. And who would have expected St. George after, what, five rounds at the start of the comp?
Second last.
Up the top, and now here they are second last. It's just, it's blown it right open where it's made it exciting. You go through your tipping contest each week, you don't know what to do.
No.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, what about the weather changes now? We've got 5 weeks to go. This is a winter's day out here. We've got 20 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
But as we come into like 5 weeks away, you see them, we've got the first semi-final, maybe 25, 26 degrees. It's incredible. There's something about the weather change when semis come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And Parramatta, if they can hold on to a top six spot, we get a final at Bank West. How good will that be?
Well, that'd be good.
Well, I think we're going to get finals at Bank West at some point, but without being biased, so I don't care. But it'd be nice if Parramatta hosted a game there. That would be something spectacular. Let's go to our man from ladbrokes.com.au. Roger Aldridge must be running another marathon. So Tom Hackett is with us. Hello, Tom.
Hello, guys. He's at the Darwin Cup, which is a marathon of a different kind.
That's another marathon.
Another marathon, exactly. You know what we've never done at Triple M Footy? We've never had a pub crawl.
No. Let's get on.
Buzzard, let's organise a pub crawl at the end of the year. You know when we should do it? The day after the grand final.
Like our Mad Monday.
Yeah. I've always said that. Don't have some November lunch. Let's have it the day after grand final. Yeah. Everyone's excited.
How many beers per pub? Are we playing like golf? Remember? Have you ever done golf? You've got to try and get minus, mate. You're three or four, you're gone after the first pub.
Last man standing.
Drink responsibly.
Yeah, exactly. Drink and gamble responsibly. Eels, they need to keep winning. I mean, we're talking about possible home finals, but they've got to get in the finals first. They should do that, but this is the sort of game they need to take care of business. Are they fancy to do so, the Savo, here at Cogger against the Dragons?
No, they're actually not. It's the Dragons that have been backed into favouritism. They're now into $1.80 to return to winning form, while the Eels are at the $2.
Wow, Eels outsiders. Okay.
What about first try scoring betting? Who are we backing today? The outside back, Sivo, I suppose, would be one of them blokes who we'd be all lining up for.
Yeah, Sivo's always very popular in first try scoring betting. He's the favourite at $7.50 from Jacob Saab at $8 and Zach Lomax at $9. Best backed outside has actually been Tarek Sims at a juicy price of $21.
All right, geez, isn't that try scoring title? Isn't that race hotting up? We've got Sivo on 14, Barmalore on 14. Garrick got 13 yesterday. Cody Walker scored again. I don't think Latrell Mitchell scored today, so that's important. But there's still 35 minutes to go there. Anyway, what about premiership market betting? I'm guessing Cronulla have been the big firmers overnight.
Yeah, Cronulla have firm, but the other big firmer has been the Canberra Raiders after their impressive performance on Friday night. They're now on the third line of premiership betting at $7. Roosters remain the premiership favourites at $3, and the Melbourne Storm on that second line there at $3.25.
All right, so
Tommy,
plenty of markets there to sink your teeth into. Check out all of them at ladbrokes.com.au. They've got Ashes betting there as well. Back yourself, gamble responsibly. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, guys.
No change at the SCG. They're 10 minutes into the second half there. Roosters 28, Gold Coast 0. Triple M rocking your Sunday match of the day. We've got plenty to get through, and in case you missed it, which we'll do right after this.
Triple M footy. Let's go! Kareem Hot Water.
Oh, yeah, how good's a CC? Well, you've got to say it as plural, CCs. Because once you have one, you can't say no. Mark Spud Carroll in the chair today, along with Mark Geyer and also Billy Harrigan. Judge Billy coming up in a few moments. Dan Ganane as well. Triple M rocking your footy for Maccas. Try at the SCG. Tedesco's got number two, so it's now 34-0. Wow. Roosters thumping the Gold Coast, and there's still 25 minutes to go there. Teddy now goes to 12 tries for the year. So it's
one good thing about this is that Justin Holbrook's got a you know, pretty blank palette to work with. It's got no, you can't go lower.
That is glass half full if ever I've heard it.
Wow.
Jesus, busy show today, and if you didn't hear all of it, here we go. Let's do this.
On Triple M Footy, in case you missed it, let's rewind a little.
Here's an oldie but a goodie, and I don't think anyone will disagree. Spud calling BS on players high-fiving after mistakes.
I call BS on when someone makes a mistake, the first thing they want to do is want to give each other a high-five.
Yeah, I hate that.
Sean Kennedale. Sean Kennedale, mate, you get rocks or diamonds with that bloke. He makes a mistake, the first one they do, they want to smack it, give him a high-five. Mate, when I was coming through at Manly, you copped one in the head from your mate. So my BS is like no celebrating when you drop the ball. Yeah. Not even a tag. It's one of my pet hates. Mm.
I just can't imagine Tucker Coleman giving you a high five after you put the ball down. Or who at Manly would give you a little spray if you let the team down?
But if it wasn't Bob Fulton, it'd be Tubes.
Yeah.
He'd be whacking one in your ribs. No, they'd give him a high five.
Yeah, it's usually the playmakers, wasn't it? Brandy was saying at Penrith, they set such a high standard.
Yep.
Yeah, Royce, him, you know, even Freddie, the young bloke, if you're a forward and drop the ball, they'd just give you the desk there.
Kendi spoke about the Sharks' premiership chances.
Cronulla, they are a side who, because they are so tough, they can come from outside the eight and win. It's only three wins that they've got to do in the finals to get that done. They're more than capable of doing that. We have seen in the past teams have come from outside the top four to make the grand final. We're yet to see a team win it. But certainly if a team can make the grand final, they can win it. You've just got to have the right team in there. Cronulla are that type of side. They've got a lot of strike. They're tough physically. They're a side that likes to get in the scrap and just take you on. That is all perfect for finals football. So for the Sharks, their battle now is just to make sure they get in the eight.
Pretty good draw. Penrith next week away. It's a good game, actually. Dragons at home, Warriors at home, Canberra at home. That's the hardest one of their run home. And then West Tigers at Leichhardt on a Sunday afternoon. It'll be the Farrah farewell. It'll be a full house there. So that's a pretty decent enough draw. They can handle that, sure.
Yeah, it is, Dan. I think Kenny's hit on the knocker there. I just think they're purpose-built for semi-final football. They don't care where they end up. They'll be coming in seventh. They'll be coming in fire. I think the home ground advantage, especially at Shark Park, it turned into a bit of a domain. They're hard to beat. And as I said, with all these injury guys coming back, playing good footy, they're going to be hard to beat.
Roosters in again, 38-0. Cooper Cronk scored. He'd been sitting on 99 tries for a while. That is try number 100. Well done to him. I think Alan Langer is the only halfback to score 100.
Oh, okay.
I think he's got like 94 as a halfback or 93, but... second highest scoring halfback of all time. Spud, you spoke about Regan Campbell-Gillard's relationship with Ivan Cleary.
What I do to these players, I try and set goals and achievements. And that being a front rower, 20 carries of the ball, try and aim for 200 metres, aim between shoulders. I've been trying to turn the way he turns his shoulder into players. He always turns his back left side. I want to try and turn him right side, holding the ball. And I said, mate, what's going on? Why aren't you staying this game? You've got number 10 on your back. You keep coming off the bench. And he said, mate, I think I'm off the coach. The coach is off me.
Right.
So you read between the lines.
Wow. Okay. Why is it not happening, apart from perhaps a coach relationship, why do you think it's gone a little off the boil for Regan?
I really don't know. As Kenny was spoke about before, same with Josh Reynolds at West Tigers. Cleary got him in, and then he moved on. He's not part of Maguire's plan, so he's had to shift along. I think with Campbell Gillard, as MG knows, this guy's had two cracks of the breaking his jaw twice. I didn't break my jaws, but I can just imagine mentally being very hard. You can tell the way he runs, turns his back on the play. He's a bit frightened, but I think over the last 6 weeks, he's actually turned his game around. He's hitting more head-on and leading the way, but he's doing it off the bench. He's not a bench player. But I just think, I'm hearing on the streets of Sydney that he is on the outer there. But the thing is, he's on massive contract money there that Gus Gould got him on. Mm.
He's got another 5 years to go,
No, that's the problem. I think, you know, that's exactly what Spud said. And you read between the lines, it's so much money invested in a front rower that these days, you know, that Ivan Cleary obviously doesn't want to do it. So he's trying to make things as hard as, well, I don't know. If you read between the lines, if you don't want to play there, you kind of say, well, you know, put him on the bench or make it uncomfortable for him. So he goes to his manager, and like Jesse Arabian, and says, I want out. And that solves your money problems.
I saw an example yesterday, MG, at the Lotto Land. There was a New South Wales Cup or Canterbury Cup. and had the, for the Newtown side, Eastwood was playing there. Eastwood from the, played for the Bulldogs. Mate, he's on a heap of yeah. He's on about 700 or 800 playing reserve grade.
Yeah.
They said try to move him on. He goes, no, I'm sticking there.
Well, yeah, no one's going to take him. And
he's not for that money.
Perfectly entitled to say, if you want me in reserve grade and for that money, I'm going to take it. It was an odd signing from Gus in this sense. Roosters in again. Latrell Mitchell now, he's over 44-0. In that Gus worked so hard to get the salary cap right, and he had players very even sort of contracts and not long term. And then all of a sudden, Cleary was put on 5 years. And then Campbell Gillard on 6 years. Yeah. It sort of went against his style where he got them back into shape. Anyway, hoops on clubs chasing the on the outer Jesse Ramien.
I don't believe Jesse Ramien will have any trouble at all. In fact, I can tell you he's got about half a dozen joints lined up.
Okay, who are they
for next
season? Can you tell us who they are?
He has got the Melbourne Storm, the Bulldogs, Cronulla, West Tigers. I think the Roosters have made an inquiry, and I stress it's only an inquiry. And North Queensland Cowboys as well, Anthony. So there's half a dozen for you.
The Roosters have got Latrell Mitchell and Joseph Manu in the centres.
Hey, inquirer. That's made an inquiry.
All right. Kenty rips into the NRL Integrity Unit. He was fired up during the week, and he was fired up again for the handling of the Ivan Cleary referee drama.
Yeah, I want to call BS on the Integrity Unit, the NRL. We saw this week they had a case that they were dealing with, the Ivan Cleary case, got out there last week. Ivan, an eyewitness, reported what Ivan said, provided a statement to the NRL. And the NRL, after 3 days of investigations, the Integrity came out and said there was no case to answer. And the reason was this, because of, quote, conflicting evidence. Now, forgive me, but when you have conflicting evidence and you are an investigating body, your job is to determine what part of the evidence you do believe and don't believe. In every investigation, there's conflicting evidence.
All right, so Kenny, he's been fired up about that all week, and that dovetails nicely into this.
All rise for the Honourable Judge Billy.
Honourable.
I too, Dan, want to talk about the Ivan Cleary episode. The coaches have been banned from saying anything to the referees at halftime. They can't approach them full stop. So for us to have Ivan Cleary, a coach, walk up to a referee and give him a spray and say things like what's been alleged, that, you know, give us a penalty or if and what about the line on the tackle players and all that sort of thing. Well, it doesn't matter what he said. He can't go anywhere near the referee and say things like that. I'm not either sanctioning him, penalising him with a fine, suspending him or doing something. They have just given a ticket to the other 15 coaches for the next 5 rounds to walk down to the tunnel and give a referee a spray and say, hey, precedence, can't do anything to me, you didn't do anything to Ivan Cleary, because it's a known fact that he did. Even Ivan Cleary admitted that he went down and said something to the referee. It comes down to what the referee said, Ashley Klein. Did Ashley Klein say, yes, he did approach me, or I wasn't aware of it? Well, if you weren't aware of it, how come everybody else in the tunnel was? So the bottom line is they had to do something about it. And even just a letter of warning with a minimal fine or something would have kept the pressure on other coaches not being allowed to go into the tunnel and say anything. And I go back to the best spray that I ever got was Bobby Fulton in the tunnel, turned around telling me that he wanted me run over a concrete truck on the way home.
That was after the game.
That was after the game, but still approached me. And way back then is when they brought that
what
in. Gus came into my dressing room because he took the tie off and said, I'm in the dressing room, I'm not an official. And I went, really? And then he gave it to me. But still, something was done about that. He was called in front of Quayle with me, and we had to sort that one out. Yeah. Bobby Fulton got into trouble for what he did then. They've just got to do it full stop. Now they've given a free ticket to the others
What should have happened? It should have been a fine, a scary fine to say, look, keep away.
Yeah.
Yeah, so deter others.
A warning letter with a fine, sufficient. Bang.
You would have thought, well done, that when he admitted in the press conference that he had actually approached the ref, didn't sort of articulate what he had said, but he admitted that he had an interaction with the ref at half time.
Yes.
This should be game, set, and match.
It should be. And what he could have done is at half time, when he's talking to his captain, he says to the captain, when you walk back out onto that field, you go up and you tell that referee in no uncertain terms that your coach said at the halftime break that he wasn't happy with the way everyone was lining up. Referee, can you certainly have a look at it? And he could have said that, and that's allowed, no problem. Still would have got the same message across without getting into trouble.
That brings back fond memories. They used to do that. Bozo used to scream down the walkie-talkie to get Tubes to go and speak to the referee, and half the time Tubes would go up there and just mine and come back. There's no wonder what he was going to say, what Bozo was saying.
And he did it with Fatty, and it was always 11-3. Go up and tell the referee the penalty count, because Fatty come up to me and goes, Billy, just have a quick chat with you. He said, what's up, mate? He goes, the penalty count's 11-3 against us. We're just getting hammered, mate. What's going on? And I went, no, you're not. It's just the way it is.
It's 4-4.
And then he said, well, that didn't work, did it? And I went, no, it didn't. And then he said, well, can the concrete truck park up in the top car park work? And there was a truck up there, bud.
Very good. Nice, Judge Billy. Triple M rocking the Sunday match of the day. 46-0. Roosters over the Gold Coast. The video ref looking at a possible Titans try, but that won't be given, so it'll remain 46-0, and there's 17 minutes to go there. Here at Cogra, what a day it is. Crowd filing in. It's the Dragons and the Eels coming up for Ream Hot Water. It is Triple M Sunday Match of the Day.
For McDonald's. Triple M footy.
We are live at Cogra Oval. Netstrata Jubilee is the name of the venue this year. It's the Dragons and the Parramatta Eels. Another try at the SCG, but this time it's the Titans who've crossed. Nice try too. Riley Jack's getting over. 46-6. Roosters really enhancing their for and against. 13.5 to go there at the Sydney Cricket Ground. MG, Mark Carroll, Bill Harrigan, your call team today, along with Dan Ganane. And this man, Zach Bailey, returns to Triple M footy, and he is on the sideline with the coach of the Eels for celebrations. It's Brad Arthur.
Brad Arthur, thanks for joining Triple M so close to kickoff. Michael Jennings, being in this week, what do you hope to see from him?
He just has that level of composure and the calming influence. You know, Dylan's still 6-7 games into his NRL career, and Mike are on the outside, you know, like 15-16 games. So, you know, he's just a good confidence boost for those guys. Talks them through the game, and especially in those tough periods.
This week you've challenged your leaders and said you want more from them. Who in particular?
Oh, it's just all our blokes that have a bit more experience, you know, Jenko, Mitch, Gutho, Dunes, you know, all those blokes play key roles for us in key positions. So if they can all own their jobs, the young blokes and the blokes with the less experience will, you know, play their role.
I bet you wish you were playing at Bankwest today. Your record there is brilliant. Your record away from there isn't great. How do you have the confidence or get the confidence in the guys that they can produce good footy away from home?
Yeah, look, I'm actually glad that we're playing here, you know, because we need to be able to roll the sleeves up and dig in for an 80-minute performance. Doesn't matter where we play. If we have to play out in the car park, you know, it shouldn't matter. So that's the challenge for us. And our periods of play that are hurting us, you know, we're reducing them, and they're not as costly at the moment, but that's, you know, going to be a big focus for us.
With the ball in hand, you look great, but defensively you haven't been as good as you want to be. But what do you want to see today?
Yeah, like I said, when, you know, a bit of momentum goes against us, you know, and for a period of time there, we just need to dig in and minimise the damage. You know, we're 4 or 5 tries in a period of 15 minutes isn't good enough.
Obviously, you know Corey Norman better than most. How do you shut him down today?
Oh, look, Normie's a very confident player, so we can't focus on him too much. You know, he's got a really nice pass selection and passing game, so it'd be important for us to keep a nice straight line on him and, you know, not create any opportunities by, you know, blokes coming outside our system.
All right, good luck today, and thanks for joining us on Triple M.
All right, thank you.
Nice chat, thank you.
Thank you.
Zach Bailey there with Brad Arthur as Triple M rocks the Sunday match of the day, MG and Spud. Where are we at with the Eels? They've actually started to string a little bit more consistency together. They've won 4 of their last 5. Not the greatest opposition, but they're now, at least they're starting to look like a team putting it together.
I just think they're getting some confidence about themselves. It took them a while to gain that, but I think they've sort of set up momentum from having Bankwest as their main ground now. But as Brad Arthur, they're happy to come here and play. They've got to play in other grounds to get better. But I just think, most like Kane Evans, he started the year off a bit patchy. For he's such a big young kid, gets good go forward. Junior Paulo, mate, he's 125-kilo wrecking ball, and they've got Reed Mahoney. I think he's great out of dummy half, but the forwards have to lay platforms, which allow their outside backs. We'll see Mitchell Moses and Dylan Brown sort of certainly doing some great work, but also then you've got Gutho at the back. So yeah. I just think it's all about momentum, and they need to win today.
Yeah, I think they're a danger team. Now that they've got Waka Blake in the centres and Takarangi bolsters their back line by shifting to the wing.
Well, do we think Blake on the wing and Takarangi in the centre? He's never played the wing,
yeah,
Takarangi.
You know what, Dan, you're right. And maybe even Takarangi off the bench as a utility. I don't know. But yeah, Waka Blake wanted more ball at Penrith. Now he's gone to Parramatta and he might get more ball. But they're a settled side. Four out of the last five games, that means they're getting form at the right time of the year. This Mika Sivo is phenomenal on the wing. Dylan Brown, he's exciting to watch, and they've got a forward pack that matches most now that Nathan Brown's back in the so kind of when you can't find a spot in your 17 for Penny Therapo and Jamin Salmon, you're going okay.
Well, it's funny thing is, Spud, Dylan Brown, when he's been in the team, Parramatta's won 5 out of 7.
Mm.
And when Nathan Brown has been in the Parramatta team, they've won 5 out of 7. Now, they're not the same 7 games.
Yeah.
So it's obvious that the Browns, the namesakes, are having a very positive impact.
Glad you brought Nathan Brown up. But he's one of my favourites to watch play. I just wish he was another foot taller. God, he goes hard. He runs from the back fence, tackles hard. But it's just looking at the footage here. We've got Mago Siva, the winger, mate. Have you ever seen calves as big on a bloke? He can't pull socks up above him. That's why his socks are down. He can't pull them up above his calves.
What would you do if he came into the gym? Well, what would you say, mate? Okay, this is how I can make you bigger.
Can't make him bigger. He's just got massive. You just see his palm off the leg. He nearly put the bloke over the
fence.
It's amazing how they lose a player of quality from last year and bring this kid in. They've certainly got some great talent, but it's okay to say you have the best ever back line, which they've got a pretty good back line. If your forwards don't lay platforms, especially against a side like the Dragons, you're up against James Graham and Frizzell and Vaughan, mate, they're not there to play second string footy here. They're going to be playing. They want to finish the game. They want to finish the year off hard and also be a bit of a nuisance value, I reckon, to a lot of the sides coming into the 5 weeks to go.
All right, Latrell's got a third at the SCG. Strolling over 50-6 with a kick to come and 8 minutes to go. So they might not be done with yet, the Roosters over the Gold Coast Titans. That's a huge win because it basically puts them out of reach at this point of the Raiders and the Bunnies in for and against. So we'll check that at the end of the game, of our game. But it means now in any tie situation, they're going to be way clear of those teams. So it's been a big weekend for the Roosters. The Bunnies got beaten, so that was good for them. And the Raiders had a win. That was a big win too, but the Roosters' win is even bigger. What about the Eels? We know they're a different team at Bankwest. They have not won away from Bankwest since round 4. And that was against Cronulla, and I'm pretty sure that was a nominal home game before Bankwest was ready. So it must... At some point, MG, it must be a mental thing.
Yeah, it is. It really is because, you know, we see that the Warriors have won more games away from home this year than at Mount Smart, which you'd think to be the other way around. But so, look, Pat, that is an unbelievable stadium, but Bankwest Stadium. You can see how any team there, it's worth 10 to 12 points, I reckon, for the team playing there, especially Parramatta. When we were there for the opening game against the Dragons, and it was just a sight to see that so many supporters turned up for that first game. I love it. It's a footy ground. You're right on top. No matter where you sit, you're on top of the ground. And obviously the players, when you hear... Gutherson made a break that first game and Moses made a break. The crowd just were... I hadn't heard anything like that.
Nah.
Maybe the thing that beat it was in Perth when we were at...
Optus.
Optus Stadium when they ran out. It was kind of the most deafening roar I've heard at a rugby league game. But as far as the club goes, it's Bankwest.
Yeah, but as you said, Dan, you've got to win away from your home game, don't you?
Yeah.
Semi-finals are played. They won't be playing semi-finals at home if they make the top 8.
Well, you want to win a comp, you're going to have to win at Amy or
Canberra.
You've
got to win other games. But as MG spoke about, it's probably a bit of a mind games with these guys. But you only got to win one, and then the confidence will grow.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll focus on the Dragons after this. By the way, Latrell Mitchell got the conversion 52-6 with 7 to go at the SCG. Roosters are home, obviously, against the Gold Coast. Triple M rocking the Sunday match of the day for Maccas.
Triple M footy.
Let's go!
For Ream Hot Water.
Roosters 52, Gold Coast 6, 5.5 to go. Here at Cogra, we are about 15 minutes away. Hey, Bill Harrigan, what was Mark Carroll like to referee?
He didn't say too much. He was always too tired knocking blokes over and didn't say really too much at all. He was all right.
No, the thing's
but
back
I did steer clear of him because when he went into games and you could see the match-up and you could see the two forwards
Spud and the other bloke eyeballing each other, you just think, there's going to be some heavy collisions here. I don't want to be anywhere near it.
But back then, mate, there's respect for the coach and the player to the referee. Well, dislike these days, they all know everyone's nickname. Back then, it was Bill would say, number 10, number 9, get back behind me. There was no nickname.
Yeah, I never called you Spud. Ever.
Ever.
Who, and now, Spud, I've got to ask you this, because we all romanticise rightly about you and the Chief, right? Mm. But you had some other opponents. Who else did you really enjoy going up against?
No one.
Well, okay. Who did you think? Okay, I've got to get this guy.
I was always going to be the other. Always going to be the front rower, of course, the leader of the pack all the time. MG will say the same thing.
Well, like Marty Bella.
Oh, I love bashing him.
Buttsy, Tony Butterfield.
I'd always. I knew when I was playing the Newcastle Knights from a kickoff, I want to get tackled by three blokes.
Yeah,
weighing 100 kgs, it's 300 kilo. I want to kill them, Mark Carroll. But the thing is, that was our nature. That was our bread and butter. We got brought up, and as well, I said, myself and MG are from the west suburbs of Sydney. He's a bit further out. I'm from Greyslands. He's from Penrith. And we were taught as a young kid, never show your hurt, always get up.
Yeah.
Because we were both worried about our old man jumping the fence, kicking us up the arse. 100%.
What I was going to say to Marty Bella, everybody lined him up. It didn't matter what team that was. Everybody lined
him up. My dad used to ring me up before a game and pick a couple of players for me to bash, you know. And one was always, especially when I'm playing as Manly, my dad was going Martin Bella, then just hang up. It was dad.
Were you ever too much? Because didn't he play for me? Oh, he went to North.
He went before I got there. But no, I just love getting in his face.
A lot of people say that. Paul McGregor is the Dragons coach. He's under pressure, obviously, but he's been good enough to join us. He's with Zach Bailey for celebrations.
Paul McGregor, thanks for joining us on Triple M. A heartbreaking loss last week, but what response did you see from the players this week?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of a win in a loss last week. You know, the resilience showed to come back from 14-2 against a team that's run a second. It was promising, although we didn't get the win. There was a few things that we can take out of that game that we haven't been able to do before. You know, our interchange last week didn't give us enough. We got our main forwards back on the field, and Gareth back gave us a different sort of look when we got into some field position. So it's really important that, you know, they start building towards the end of the year and look forward to, you know, giving these young blokes a good challenge in the next 6 weeks.
You saw the effort you wanted to last night. Are you confident you can get the execution in the big moments today?
Yeah, the commitment was there and the effort was solid. But again, we didn't really execute in the important time. So, you know, that comes down to individuals, and it comes down collectively as a team to get behind the ball a little bit quicker and get into position so you can execute. A couple of times the pass just didn't hit the mark, and we turned over. We only had four good ball sets, and we turned over the ball four times. So we need to play with a bit more patience in good ball. But in yardage, we want to play a little bit more open.
You mentioned your bench, four middles or four forwards on the bench this week. No Matt Dufty. Is there a reason behind that?
Yeah, Duff was only there to cover, you know, Gareth last week. Gareth got through the game well. You know, Duff can only play really one position, so he doesn't cover too much on the interchange. We want to keep the 9 at 9 and Ben at 7 throughout the 80 minutes. So it means that we went for a big four. And the reason why we went for a big four was I haven't been that happy with the interchange players, mate. So if they don't perform, I've got a couple more to rotate.
You mentioned Ben. He copped a lot of slack last week. But what do you want to see from him?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for Benny is to be heavily involved and let things go quickly. You know, let things wash over him a little bit. If he does something wrong, look for doing something right next, you know, instead of holding on to that wrong. You know, he's a good kid. He works hard at his game. You know, I like to see him get into the game through a long, hard kick chase sort of routine. Take the line on a fair bit more with his ability to show and go and his running game. And, you know, and probably not concentrate too much on running the team, but let the others around him help him do that. So, you know, with Gareth back, that certainly helps.
Best of luck today, Mary. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks to Paul McGregor there. Interesting comments on Matt Dufty, basically saying, well, he's not on the bench because he only plays one role, which is obviously fullback.
Yeah.
Geez, I wonder what his future is, MG. He can't be happy here. The coach obviously does not rate him. Maybe there's a situation where it might be best for both parties to find a solution somewhere else.
Yeah, I watched him earlier today, Matt Dufty, and St George had a good win over Winnie in the Canterbury Cup. And by the way, there's a young kid who played for St George who scored a hat-trick in the back row, Jackson Ford. keep an eye on this kid. He can play.
I think he's part of the Roosters system, and he's one that got away. Oh, speaking of the Roosters, Sam Verrill's crosses.
Oh, my God.
56-6.
Wow.
And the kick will be from next to the post. So it's going to be a 50-plus point margin there for the Roosters. The Dragons and the Parramatta Eels. Spud, the Dragons, what do you make of them?
Disappointing. I think they kept blaming the coach all the time, but I think with the inclusion of James Graham, they certainly misses his impact. I love him as a player. He's go forward. He's one of those guys, if I was playing the game these days, we talk about, you know, who would you confront? It'd probably be two guys. It'd be the two Pommies. Sam Burgess would always bring the best out of myself. And James Graham, because he's the leader of their pack. I think with Frizzell, Vaughan, and McGuinness from the hooker, but I just wish they got to aim up for their teams, but also as MG talks about, the passion for their fans. They're out here today, gonna have their flags flying around. Mary McGregor's gonna be, he's done his best for the week, and hopefully they can aim up for the Dragons.
You love James Graham. You see, he gives everything he's got, no matter what the situation. Is his tank empty?
Is his tank empty?
He's on reserve.
How much can he do? He needs other blokes to come with him. He just can't do it by himself.
What I'm saying is, he's a guy, it's unbelievable that he has played. We marvel at Cam Smith, right?
Yes.
But this guy's played 400 games, 450 games in the middle.
Yep.
Getting himself bashed up 450 times.
He is an absolute phenomenon. What he does, but what about when he doesn't mind a blow up, does he?
Oh.
And it's also his teammates. He's just hammering his teammates. I love it.
I walked in with him and who was it with today? It was one of the Jeremy Lattimore lads. And I walked behind. I said, "Hey, lads," and he's AMG. And then he started laughing. So we're laughing. He goes, "Oh, bloody Graham's going off one of the fans for not talking in the right way." He blows up at everyone.
Yes,
he's into everyone. It's not, like. There's a big line up outside. He just brushed it. He said, "No, I'm going to get ready."
But I was down at Wynn Stadium.
We had a water bottle with him.
But I was down at Wynn Stadium a few weeks ago for Canterbury Cup, and next thing, I always wanted to meet this guy. And the next thing, he's in my face. He's one of those real close talkers. Like, he's real close.
Oh, God.
I can see all the little red pubes on his face. And he said, "Mate, you're going to donate your brain straight in." And nothing like, "How are you, Spud?" I said, "I'm going to do the same." Yeah. And he goes, "I'm going to do the same." And then we got on well because probably two bullfed front rowers.
Hey, he said something really interesting, Bill, on Fox the other day. In 50 years, there'll be no such thing as on-field referees. It'll be all robots. Is that a stupid... No, it's not as stupid as it sounds, because remember, technology is going through the roof. Can you see a time when it's just dings and buzzers and sensors?
I would hope not, and I really can't. I don't think we can get away from the human element in there, but you never say never, Dan.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, we didn't think we'd be answering our watch to talk to as a phone, and yet, 5-10 years ago, where that started a reality. So, you never say never.
I'd hate to see it, but boy. That's big picture thinking. What if the NRL said, "You know what, this Hawkeye we talked about, we've discovered it. It now exists, and we're going to bring it in." Would you be for that?
Purely for passes?
Just for forward
just
passes.
Just for passes, yeah. That's
purely
all.
Purely for passes, yes, I am.
Yeah, I'm with
any
you.
Technology. I still think that we have got the technology even now to use to rule on dead set forward passes. The ones that are marginal, you just say, "Look, I'm leaving it with the on-field." But the dead set, yeah, we can do it now.
All right, we're going to take one more break, and then it is first grade between the Dragons and the Eels, live Triple M Sunday Match of the Day.